For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about home as a tabernacle for God. To me, one of the most beautiful names by which God calls himself is Emmanuel, Hebrew word which means God with us. And we read in the book of the Revelation, the tabernacle of God is with men. A tabernacle is a dwelling place. The tabernacle, which was a tent in the wilderness when Israel was traveling, was God's house. That represented the presence of God with those people. But that tabernacle has been abolished. We don't need a building for God. We don't even need a tent. We can meet God anywhere. And yet God has ordained that a Christian home should be a microcosm of heaven, a place of peace, a place where he himself can be at home. Have you thought of your own home as a tabernacle for God? If Jesus were coming to supper tonight, what would you do to prepare? Would you do what Martha did, or would you do what Mary did? Now, we need to be very clear what we're talking about here, because if Jesus were coming to supper, somebody has to cook supper. And Martha was willing to cook the supper. You remember in that story that Martha was upset because Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And Martha asked Jesus to send Mary out to the kitchen to give her a little help because she was, do you remember the words, cumbered with much serving. She was worried and anxious. And I suppose that if Jesus were coming to supper, most of us would be worried and anxious and cumbered about much serving. Think about what matters most to Jesus. Is it what you do or the attitude with which you do it? Of course it's important to Jesus what we do, but it's far more important when we do it as an offering to him. The ironing has to be done, the washing has to be done, the snow has to be shoveled, the car has to be greased. But have you ever thought of making those things an offering? Sometimes I forget to do that when it's something that I really enjoy doing because it's no trouble at all to do it or it's pure pleasure. Then I forget that the Lord is waiting for me to offer everything to him. But when it's something I really don't want to do, I've found it a tremendous help to just say, Lord, you know I don't want to do this, but I'll do it for you. And now let me make this an offering. Maybe you don't like to cook or dust. I cannot imagine anybody not liking to cook. I'm not one of the world's great gourmet cooks, but I do love to cook because I love to see people enjoy their food. I like food myself, and I suppose part of it comes from the fact that when I lived in the jungle, I really had very little choice about what to cook. I just had to cook whatever there was, which was usually a very limited menu. It might be a piece of manioc or some bananas or an ear of corn, sometimes a monkey leg or a piece of wild pig or something like that. And now it's still, after all these years, it still almost seems like a miracle to me that I can walk into a huge supermarket with a list and just pick out absolutely everything that's on that list and carry it home. Well, think about the privilege that you have of cooking. Maybe you don't think paring a potato is fulfilling in itself, but it does give you a nice warm feeling deep down in your heart when you sit at the table and watch people that you love enjoying that baked potato or that chicken. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Her heart was directed toward him. And I would like to be like Martha in being willing to serve, and like Mary in being willing to sit at Jesus' feet. I ask the Lord to help me to do the work that He's given me to do without anxiety, without haste and fuss and worry, without procrastination. When I have a piece of writing that I have to do, I confess that it's much easier to procrastinate. But then, looking at it with the long view, I realize that the only way to get that thing out of my hair is to do it. Well, I want to tell you about three different houses that I visited. One of them was an apartment in Boston, where a stock analyst and his wife lived. His wife was pregnant, and she told me that her husband was planning to buy a big dog. Well, she really wasn't prepared for that. She wasn't sure that she could cope. But she said to me, you know, I want to be submissive. I don't want to be a shrew. I've prayed about this. Would you pray for me too? And so I prayed for her. And she got back to me later to say, Elizabeth, it was an instant solution. Without even a word spoken, he decided not to buy the big dog until we got to a house in the country. God does answer prayers like that. There was a woman who had a very good reason for disagreeing with a decision that her husband had made, but she wanted to be submissive, as the scripture tells, and so she prayed, and God took care of the problem. Scene two, I was sitting by a swimming pool owned by a well-known entertainer. His wife and I were talking about women, women's issues. Feminism happened to be very much in the headlines back in those days, time of the ERA, I guess it was. And this is what she said to me. I had this passion, this consuming passion to do something with my life, something besides being a wife and mother. I wanted to be a star. I ruined two marriages because of it, and I know it. Well, I gave it all up. I gave it up to the Lord, this selfish ambition, and now I have a husband who adores me. It was obvious to me that he does. So I tell my daughters, she says, and we've got six of them, you do like the Bible says. You submit. You submit to your husband. If he tells you to get down and scrub floors, buddy, you hit it on all fours if necessary. I liked that. And I could see that that woman had found peace and happiness with her third husband that she had never found with the first two because she ruined two marriages because of selfishness. Scene three, a doctor's house in San Francisco. In the bedroom are three cribs with three little boys, giggling, cooing, smiling toothlessly, jumping up and down with glee as their mother and I come in. All are about a year old, but they're not triplets. They're adopted, and their parents are middle-aged, both of them doctors, the mother nearly 50. I watch the boys being fed. They get nothing out of baby food jars. Elizabeth Paith Lasker, always Bunny to me, prepares it herself. Pureed chicken and spinach, done in a blender for lunch. Apples and cheese for afternoon snack. Salad for supper. Can you imagine getting one-year-olds to eat salad? She lines up three high chairs and starts scooping spoonfuls from a single dish with a single spoon. It's one, two, three. One, two, three. If number two spits it out, she catches it and number three gets it. Everybody loves it. Everybody's relaxed and exuberant. Aren't they gorgeous? Bunny keeps saying. Aren't they gorgeous? Oh, Elizabeth, have you ever seen such gorgeous babies in your life? Well, I've never been in a happier home. Her letter to me last week says, the children have all had their first birthday now, and so endeth the most eventful and beautiful year of our lives. And I remind you that this story is in a book that was published a number of years ago. Elizabeth Paith Lasker now has three teenagers and two younger children. But let me carry on. There's a constant sacrament of praise as I go through the repeated acts involved in caring for three active little boys. This was her letter to me. Evelyn Underhill's idea that every temporal act that fills the moments of our day are not just a sort of sacrament, but are in fact the real sacrament. And since so much of my day is spent in doing little repetitive activities that seem so small and mean, it's somehow cheering and reassuring to think of each of these, scraping messes off rugs, re-rolling entire scrolls of toilet paper, changing diapers, washing clothes, making bread, scrubbing sticky floors, scouring high chairs, ad infinitum, as a sacrament of praise and of worth, incredible to the Master. And I think again of those words from Revelation, "The tabernacle of God is with men. Now at last God has his dwelling with men. He will be among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them." I would hope that whether or not you are a mother or a father with that kind of humble service to render to God, that you would find that the service God has given you to render to him is also transformable.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you.